Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may temporarily be excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at this meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters: Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments in the instant messaging facility. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Okay, folks, we'll make start. Start with apologies.
Councillor Malone.
Sorry, Cliff.
Councillor Malone.
Thank you. And
two parts as well.
Thanks, Johnny. Joe Parks has given his apologies as well, and Councillor Mason needs to be away by 7 p.m. Okay, item two is declarations of conflict of interest.
None, Chairperson.
Thanks. Terry, too long, I've got my chat up here. Okay, we move on to the action sheet. I'll just take each page. Page one, page two, page three, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8. Are there any issues arising out of the action sheet? Okay, Councillor Casey, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I'm proposing it there, and it's to do with the Council's tree strategy. It's a question and a comment, I suppose, at the same time. I noticed there's a fair bit of tree planting ongoing on the local towpath. I just hope the trees are given a chance to mature. Is it the Council's intention to go the full length of where we are responsible? Because it is an excellent initiative, and people are complimenting the Council on the way they're bringing this forward. So if we could maybe get an answer to that, is it the Council's hope to progress it right at the full length of the whole path, which we are responsible for, the particular part that we're responsible for? Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Casey. Johnny, do you want to come back on that, or is it?
Yeah, maybe Chair Kevin could answer that.
Okay, no problem.
Unfortunately, Kevin can't answer that one, but I thought Johnny Ellis is supposed to be on the call tonight, and this I was looking there to text Colette, but I couldn't figure out how to do it. Colette, would you mind? Johnny has emailed me to say that he hasn't been sent a link for the meeting, and when Johnny arrives at the meeting, Councillor Casey, we should be able to answer that question directly for you.
That's fine, thanks.
Okay, Councillor Casey, are you happy enough if we come back to that at the end? Is that okay?
Yes, sure, that's fine. I'm happy enough with that, yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so the action sheet was proposed by Councillor Casey and seconded by Councillor Owen. Thank you. So we'll move on to item four, which is the notice of motion from Councillor Owen on the brown bin biodegradable bags. Yeah, Councillor Owen, do you want to?
Thank you very much, Chair. Yeah. So this council will maximise food waste collection, contributing to our recycling targets and reduction of our carbon footprints by simplifying its biodegradable bag delivery system to residents. I'm hoping this is quite a straightforward motion for all of us. This item was submitted to Council at the end of 2019, I believe, but obviously with COVID and sort of industrial action on one thing, I was more than happy to sort of push it further down the road. However, the sustainability of environment is still a hugely important factor to all of us, I'm aware. And I really think that now is the time that this needs to be looked at. Whenever I lived in England, the food waste refuge collectors would deliver the little green bags that needed to go into their bins over there. You would either just tie a bag to the wheelie bin, or there was a tag that was produced that you would just hang on the back of the bin. This signalled to the refuge collectors that you needed more, and it was just a very simple process. This in turn made it easier and more inviting for the households to recycle their food waste. When I returned to Northern Ireland in 2012, I was surprised that this council hadn't adopted something similar. Instead, we ask our householders to drive to the household recycling centres and pick them up. They're not always there, and I accept that they are free. I've had some of the constituents tell me here in Rowallan, and I'm sure maybe similar things have happened in your own districts, that sometimes there isn't always stock, meaning that a second trip needs to happen. Surely the objective of this council should be to help cut greenhouse emissions, not increase them. Surely we should be doing all that we can to make it attractive for someone to recycle. A lot of people can't get to the HRCs and then need to buy them, which then in itself, although they're relatively cheap, does put them off from recycling. So what I'm asking is, can we make things a bit easier for the residents, for all of our residents, by delivering these food bags or coming up with something similar to the residents' homes, which in turn will help reduce greenhouse emissions and drive up our recycling targets? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Owen. I don't see anyone in there with any questions. Item 5 is actually the report on this notice of motion, Councillor Owen, so I'm going to take Johnny in there to go on that.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I suppose we as officials are happy to look at the potential options as to how we might better distribute these in a more effective and efficient manner, at the same time trying to maximise a reduction of our carbon footprint and support increased recycling. So if the committee is agreeable, the recommendation would be that officers bring back a report to a future meeting, setting out a number of options and identify the preferred option for doing that, and hopefully we can get the agreement of the committee at that stage.
Yeah, thank you, Johnny. We have a couple of questions in here. Councillor Casey, you were in there first.
Yeah, I'd like you to consider, Johnny, when you're taking that paperback with the options that about a year ago or maybe more, to give councillors the option of getting a box delivered to their household, COVID conditions taken into consideration, and they would divide them through the local community groups. That was an excellent idea, and I know it wouldn't be abused by councillors would not do that. So I would think that maybe that should be given some more consideration, and I'd like you to try and include that in your options paper, Johnny. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Casey.
Councillor
Owen?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I would like to sort of support Charlie in his thinking there. I got a box as well a number of times, and I think certainly that just made things easy. I know obviously there's going to be some hurdles that we're going to have, you know, with this motion, and it's going to take a bit of time to get it sorted out. But I do think that maybe even if in the interim, supporting Charlie with what he said there, that it is something that we could maybe look at, that we could try and get things out to the community, you know, at a local level, if that was something that we could help with. I suppose the thing that I would want to ask Johnny is if there, through the chair, is if there is a way to sort of cement a date for the report to be coming through. You know, just give us a bit of a ballpark of when you expect the report to be done, and that's great. Thanks.
So maybe, Chair, if I could come back in relation to Councillor Casey's and Councillor's comments about the method we used to distribute the bio bags during COVID. Yes, we're happy to look at doing that in the interim, and we can confirm with the councillors outside of the committee when we'd like to do that. In terms of a report, Chair, there's a number of factors at play. I mean, I know Councillor Owen referred to her experiences across the water in terms of refuse collection operatives doing that. We currently don't do that here. It may result in an additional payment to our operators, so I would like to work through a lot of the human resource and indeed the financial implications before I come back with a preferred option. But Chair, there's no reason why we could not get that to the committee maybe by the end of the summer, so maybe target the August committee if that is a reasonable target to put in place.
Yeah, thank you for that, Johnny. Councillor Andrews, I see you're looking to propose, and have you a comment to make as well?
Yes, I do, Chair. First of all, I'd like to thank Catherine and Billy for bringing forward the motion to the Council, which I think is a very good one. And also in relation to previous comments, I know Charlie and all has touched on that there. Now, I would be too happy to go along the same vein, because I know as councillors, you know, we've got boxes of the green bags, and people thought it was a very, very handy and very convenient. So I welcome your commitment, Johnny, to bring a paper to the August committee, and as is Emily, too happy to propose that we go ahead with the recommendations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor McEvitt?
Yeah, I also want to make a comment, just thanking Catherine for the motion. I just wanted to maybe ask Johnny, or just off the cuff, I wonder what the uptake or percentage is of the bags, people going to the recycling centres to pick up the bags, what the percentage of constituents actually do that, because the when we got our caddy bags as councillors last year in the middle of COVID, it was absolutely brilliant. People didn't know even that the bags were given out for free. So, I mean, I'd be all on for getting that organised as soon as possible, that we can distribute now to community groups or whatever way we've done it the last time. But I was just wondering, offhand, would he know what the percentage uptake was of constituents actually availing of the service on from our recycling centres to collect the free bags?
Sure, if I may maybe refer that question to Liam Dinsmore, see, he's on the meeting. Liam would have responsibility for the household recycling centres, and he'd be over the detail more than I would in relation to this, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Johnny. Councillor McEvitt always provides a hard question. All I can say, Councillor, is no, we don't detailed records. We don't ask people to sign for bags, that sort of thing, because of, you know, information that we would be holding. All I can say is that we do endeavour to make sure that there's always a supply of bags at site, and we don't want to turn anyone away. It is brisk, so plenty of people do take it up. So we do hope also that as the COVID restrictions do lift, that we can return to the thing that we've had 26 other locations where people could have bought, received bags also. So that also may help. But certainly we will endeavour to make sure that civic community sites have bags at all reasonable times, at all times.
Yeah, thanks for that, Liam. Councillor Clark?
Thanks, Chairperson. I welcome the motion as well. I'd like to thank Catherine for bringing it forward. I agree with the recommendations, including amendments that's going forward. I believe what Charlie's saying in regards to councillors having bags is essential as well, because during COVID, like, the amount of bags we give out was, you know, it was an enormous amount. But it was a good engagement also with the community also, because you could explain what was happening with COVID as well as you were, you know, giving the bags out. So I think it was a good initiative. But I made a mistake of putting it on Facebook, and I was overwhelmed by the amount of, it was a full-time job for about a week, giving bags out. I must have had about 10 boxes to give out in a week, you know, so we need to be careful how much we take on for ourselves, you know. But I think, as Liam says, if we get all the centres that used to have the recyclable bags, I think that would be a useful tool as well as we come out of COVID. I think the community have really bought into the brown bag or the brown refuse recycling, and I think anything that makes it easier for people, you know, has to be welcomed, and I welcome the motion in that regards. In regards to an area where I recognised there was a gap was in regards to fold accommodation, sheltered accommodation, where you could go one point of contact with a box of recyclable bags, and that would be distributed, you know, at centre source within the sheltered accommodation. So if that could be looked at as well, Catherine, in your motion.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor McKee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and thanks, Catherine, for the motion. And I would agree with frankly everything that was said before. I'm just thinking that it's been quite a while since I've had any boxes, and to wait to maybe August before there's a decision taken on it, would it be possible that us as councillors were presented with about 1 to 2 boxes each, and we could dispose of them if we've done before, because it's a long time since anything has happened, and I'm not sure what people are doing about the waste at this minute in time, but I know they were going like hotcakes, and I wouldn't be afraid to do the same again. So just thinking, Johnny, maybe if anything could be done, you know, between now and then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, maybe I could just clarify, you know, it's the report that will be brought back on the options, identifying a preferred option in August. What I said earlier is that we're happy after this to look at, in the interim, circulating out the biobags via the councillors, which we did before. So if it's agreeable, Chair, we'll be in contact shortly after this meeting. Give us maybe a week or two and we'll confirm the arrangements for circulating those out. Subject also to the stock being there, but I think we're okay in that regard in this.
Okay, thanks for that. Yeah, so we have a proposal there from Councillor Andrews. Could I get someone to second that, please?
I'll second that, Chair. I'll second. Councillor Curran will second that.
Sorry, Councillor Curran. Councillor McKevitt was just in there before you on the chapter.
Okay.
I actually see Johnny Ellis has just joined the meeting, so if Councillor Casey is happily enough to just ask his question again on the action sheet, just in case I forget, we'll do it now, if that's all right.
Thanks very much, Chair. Johnny, you can hear me okay, or are you?
Yes, I can, Councillor Casey. Sorry.
I'm very complimentary of the work that's ongoing. I'll say it to you via email. But a tree planting along the towpath at the wind, and then further on down the towpath, I noticed some more planting. I think that was us responsible for that as well. If it was, it's an excellent initiative, and it's part of our council tree strategy. My question was, is it the council's policy just to continue with that initiative, possibly the full length of the towpath, at least the piece that we're responsible for? Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
So, thank you for that, Councillor Casey. Unfortunately, we're very restrictive by HED, which is Historic Environments Division, because the whole canal is a scheduled monument. I did approach them last year to see if we could use that. The initial concept was a linear forest the whole way along the towpath to try and bring in the greenway and the health and wellbeing and eventually get the cross-border link, etc., with the new scheme down the far side there at Victoria Locks. But they're very restrictive, and they don't want us really planting on the formal towpath sections to any great extent. So the best that I've been able to do is sort of isolate the main sort of gateway locations where we have there across from the town hall and Wynn. And we've also another entrance area at Victoria Locks, and we're doing like linear arboretums, which is a fancy collection of trees in very prominent areas. As well as that, I've rolled out further up the canal. We're planting living shelters almost, because part of the initial sort of consultation we'd done, a lot of people gave a feedback that the canal was very exposed, and if they were caught, you know, in adverse weather, they'd nowhere for shelter. So just within the past week, we're rolling out about 7 or 8 of those, again, at strategic points along the actual routeway. And it's going to be a mix of holly, beech. We're putting in a few magnolias for a bit of colour, and it's just to sort of give almost like a secluded, sheltered space along the routeway, where if there is a downpour or whatever, people can be quite sheltered. But to get it to a greater extent, I think we're going to have to, for want of a better word, lobby more with HED, just to show the environmental benefits of it, because they're obviously approaching it from a historical perspective, where they want a clear routeway as part of the old towpath with the horse-drawn sort of concept. If that answers that adequately.
Thanks very much for that. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Casey. Thanks, Johnny, for that. Okay, folks, we move on to item 6, which is the bus shelter applications for Hilltown. And Kevin, that's you.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, so the report in front of you concerns 3 applications the Council received to erect bus shelters in the village of Hilltown. One of these applications was previously reported to this committee in February, you may remember, but a decision was deferred awaiting a review of the neighbourhood consultation, because that's how it fell down the last time. So that was the bus shelter at Main Street, going taking passengers in the direction of Newry. The second application is for a shelter at Spelga Park, and it will be taking passengers in the Castle Welland direction. So as per council agreement, both applications were initially forwarded to TransLink for their consideration. TransLink confirmed that they would not be proceeding with either request, and the applications were then considered under the council's bus shelter policy. Attached at Appendix 1 to the report is the results of the assessment that we've carried out for both sites having regard to the council policy. So in relation to the application previously deferred, further discussion was held with residents who had objected. I think there's five residents who had objected to the bus shelter at that location. And as it turns out, two of those five residents who had objected advised that they had mistakenly filled in the form received and that they had no objections to the bus shelter. So that kind of changed the picture there. There was no longer the one-third objecting to the application, and therefore it met the criteria in terms of local community support. As I say, attached to Appendix 1 are both applications have now been deemed to meet the council bus shelter policy, and the recommendation before the committee is that we proceed to install the bus shelters at both locations. One of them will be a cantilever type shelter because there's a minimum width on the footpath, and that will be the bus shelter taking passengers to Newry, and the one at Spelga Park, there's the scope there to have a side panel and a seat as well. Sir Chair, that's the recommendation on the report. Happy to take any questions in relation to that.
Thanks very much, Kevin. We have a proposal there from Councillor Mason and seconded by Councillor Murphy. Councillor O'Hara, do you want to come in there?
Yes, thanks, Una. This has been going on a long time for myself here in Hilltown. God, Jesus, you're probably talking the guts of 2 years now at least. But I never thought it would be as difficult to get bus shelters for children going to school. And the TransLink were sort of messing me about for about a good year and a half. They were saying they were going to put it in, and they were saying they weren't going to put it in. They were saying there was lack of money. So fair play to you, Kevin. Probably about 6 months ago, I contacted yourself, and between yourself and Kieran Ogmussen, you've done your job, and I really appreciate it. So a wee bit of advice to fellow councillors, email and do whatever you have to do to get the answer. So just thanks again, folks, and I appreciate it. I know the Hilltown residents will really look forward to it. Thanks. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor O'Hare. Councillor Owen, your question?
Yeah, I had. It's obviously not on the Hilltown one in particular, but it is to do with bus shelters, and probably just on the back of what Gerry O'Hare has said. I've been asking the council since I became a councillor to do with bus shelter at Sainfield and one in Crossgar, and I know Terry has dealt with the one in Crossgar previously as well, but I'm hearing nothing about it. Is there a general problem, you know, that I can help with as far as bus shelters? Because I've sent several emails trying to ask for updates on it, and I'm not getting anywhere. So I want to, Gerry, what tricks have you got up your sleeve for me? But yeah, thanks very much, Chair. If Kevin could let me know, thank you.
Chair, I suppose there's been an ongoing issue in terms of bus shelters, which we've spoken about in this committee on a number of occasions now. It stems from the fact that whilst the council can install bus shelters, there's also a responsibility on TransLink as part of their program to install bus shelters. They are supposed to have a budget, and they're supposed to provide bus shelters. And I think it was this committee's view that perhaps the council was paying the lion's share in terms of this, because any requests were coming through to the committee, we were progressing them and dealing with them. But we felt that the requests weren't going through to TransLink, and we weren't getting a fair crack of the whip. So the committee then decided here that any requests for bus shelters would first be passed to TransLink to see if they would be including them as part of their programme. Now, that would have worked if TransLink were able to deal with those in a prompt fashion. But as it turns out, it kind of stalled there. Now, we are trying to address that in looking at our revised bus shelter policy, whereby, yes, we will continue to ask TransLink to look at requests that we get, but it'll give us the scope that if we haven't heard back from them within 3 months, that we bring the request back to the committee here, and the committee then can make a decision at that stage whether it wants to continue to pursue the matter with TransLink or whether it wants to take it off the table and decide to look at it through its own policy. So in terms of the two specific requests, if I can get those again from Councillor Owen, I'll come back to her specifically in terms of where they're standing. So one of them, Councillor Owen, was in Crossgar. Was there a particular street in Crossgar? And the other one was?
Just the Crossgar Road as you're leaving Crossgar heading towards Belfast, opposite the petrol station.
Simpson Road. Simpson Road, yeah. Catherine, it's opposite Eurospar, Kevin.
Yeah, and then the other one is in Main Street in Stainfield, where all the Downpatrick children all get on to the bus stop there by First Stainfield.
Sure, I'll check out the situation for both those, and we'll go back directly to Councillor Owen and Terry as well.
Thanks for that, Kevin.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Okay, we'll move on to item 7, which is the feasibility study for electric vehicle infrastructure at the council's depots. Kevin, that's you again.
Sure. So the purpose of the report is to provide the committee with the findings of the feasibility study, which the council commissioned into providing electric vehicle charging points at 3 council depots. This is part of the council's proposal to have a greener fleet, moving away from principally using petrol and diesel fueled vehicles. The 3 sites considered, Chair, within the study were the 3 main depots, the Greenbank Depot in Newry, Ban Road Depot in Castlewellan, and Strangford Road Depot in Downpatrick. So the findings of the feasibility report are provided at Appendix 1. It was a study carried out by an electrical engineer that the council had appointed to do that. The study envisaged that at Greenbank that we would have between 8 and 10 charging points. At Strangford Road, similarly, 8 to 10 charging points, and Ban Road, we have less, between 1 and 2, and within the report, there's a reason explained for why that would be the case. The findings of the study found that the proposal to install the charging points is viable, and each site with an estimated cost across the 3 sites of about £70,000, that's split £30,000 for Greenbank and £30,000 for Strangford Road and £10,000 for Ban Road in Castlewellan. It's officers' view that the proposed transfer of some of the council's fleet to electric vehicles is indeed viable based on the feasibility report findings. And the next stage, Chair, would be to proceed with this proposal to complete a business case which would examine the investment necessary to do that and the benefits of EV charging systems together with the costings for all of that. So if the committee's agreeable, Chair, that's what the recommendation would be, that we would now, as officers, go ahead and provide or prepare a business case for your consideration.
Yeah, thanks for that, Kevin. I see that has been proposed by Councillor Clark and seconded by Councillor Andrews. And we have a couple of questions. Councillor Clark, you're there first.
Thanks very much, Chairperson, and thanks, Kevin, for the report. I'd welcome the report. This is what the public's been looking for, the councillors been looking for, and also obviously the officers are keen to progress in regards to renewables. There's been various motions from all parties. I think there's a cross-community support and cross-party support in regards to how we move forward in regards to mitigating the impacts of climate change, particularly in our council. I think we're all on the same page in regards to that. So I think this is... it's the work of the outworkings of the climate change and sustainability working group, and we're seeing progress we've made on a number of fronts in regards to renewables. And so I'd like to thank the officers in regards to this, that this is progress and this will be welcomed. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Clark. Councillor Andrews?
Thanks very much, Chair. And it's more of a comment than a question. I'm only too happy to second the paper itself. And, you know, and we do support the council efforts. As Councillor Clark has touched on, you know, there's been various motions and over the years in relation to our carbon footprint and improving, you know, a better standing on the environment and all. And as I say, even with the sustainability working group that we're members of, you know, it's done a lot of sterling work since its inception in 2019. And again, it's all to be commended. Again, I do support the council's efforts in procuring a policy and procedures for electric vehicles and the way forward as to minimise our carbon footprint on the planet. So it's a good paper. So delighted to support it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor McKevitt?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, welcome to the report as well. Just maybe comment on the money end of it. East Border Region secured some funding to, off the top of my head, I'm going to say, to put in 75 charging systems right across different councils. And it might be worth your while contacting them to see if we can get maybe some contribution towards some of the charging points we're looking to put in. So, you know, it's, I'll ask the officers maybe to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Gavin. Do you want to come back on that, or
are
you okay?
No, sure. We'll investigate any prospect of bringing in funding. No doubt about that.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor McKee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and welcome to the report. And there's a lot of work has been done there to date to put in everything that's there. One of the things I had noticed, and I'm not sure why, maybe in delving into it too deep, but if you take 8 to 10 charging points in a couple of different depots and you become reliant on electricity to power those vehicles, is there any consideration being given to generation power, if you like, installing a generator as standby? Because if there's a cutback on power at all, you could end up with a van sitting doing nothing and nothing to go. Now, maybe power doesn't go off very often, but maybe in the long term, who knows what the situation would be. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure, it's a good point, and we've taken note of that, and perhaps that'll form part of the business case that we put together as a something that needs to be mitigated against as well. You're right, if there's a power cut and we're not able to charge vehicles, it could be a problem. But I suppose we're fortunate these days that when power cuts occur, that they're limited. And as I proceed to talk here, I have to remember as well that at both those sites, the Greenbank site and the Strangford Road depot site, we do have a standby generator. So I suppose maybe we are covered there.
Good.
Sure, we'll take it on board as part of the business.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, folks, we move on to item 8, which is the Public Convenience Strategy Consultation Report. Kevin, that's you again.
Thanks, Chair. So the purpose of this report is to provide the committee with the results of the draft Public Convenience Strategy 12-week consultation exercise, which ended in February. It was agreed that the findings from that would be reported back to this committee prior to finalising the strategy itself. The main key recommendations within the public strategy are listed within the report that you've been provided with, and participants were asked specifically their views in relation to those recommendations about whether they agreed with them or didn't agree with them, and they were also asked for any other comments that they wished to make at the time. So a copy of the report of the responses received is provided at Appendix 1 to the report. I suppose the key findings from it, it was a good response. A total of 287 participants took part. Most respondents, generally between 79 and 86%, either strongly agreed or agreed with the key recommendations. The key recommendations to investigate the induction of charging, which is probably maybe the most controversial one that some people saw at some facilities. And the reason for introducing that charging would have been a means of trying to reduce vandalism and antisocial behaviour, even it was strongly agreed or agreed by 56% of the respondents. This consultation process also allowed, as I say, for additional comments on the strategy, and the additional comments were noted in relation to requests for new public toilet facilities within certain locations. There was a strong lobby in terms of the village of Dundrum. Other comments were noted regarding cleanliness of facilities, making sure they were properly cleaned, and then comments in terms of the design and layout of the facilities. Officers are of the view that the consultation exercise has provided broad agreement to the key recommendations. And what we now do through this report is to seek your permission to finalise the strategy without significant changes. A finalised strategy would be presented to the committee next month for final approval, and that chair would then leave us with having a public toilet strategy, and there will be a range of work which will fall out of that. So having the strategy is just the starting point of trying to improve the infrastructure we have with our public facilities. It will take time and a lot of hard work to get to where we want to get to with this, Chair.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Kevin. We have a few questions coming in there. First in was Councillor Mason.
Thanks very much, Chair. Thanks for that presentation, Kevin. Really welcome the consultation results that you showed there, and it does show some really interesting results, like you alluded to there. You pointed out there one of the key aspects, I suppose, that I wanted to discuss, and that was Dundrum, that the consultation, I know there was consultation responses that alluded to that particular village. Unfortunately, in Slave Crib, we do only have one public convenience, which is in Castle Wellen. And look, it would certainly be welcome news if that would be upgraded as well. But I do feel that real consideration needs to be given to the Dundrum area. And I know it's something that my colleague, Councillor Howell, here in Slave Crib has been lobbying on for quite some time. We all know that the village of Dundrum really is a bustling tourist village. And it's crying out for a facility like this. And there is a particular village, Dundrum Village Association is working very, very hard with other local clubs and things like that in the area to try and get some movement forward in this. It's just one thing I'd like to ask, if within the strategy it could be considered to include working with the likes of local stakeholders, local clubs, maybe even local businesses and stuff that might be able to get involved, you know, to try and bring this forward, not just in Dundrum, but obviously in all areas. But obviously I'm specifically concentrating on Dundrum here. But I do really welcome the consultation responses presentation there, because it really does show the value of it and getting that kind of feedback. But I would just ask if that could be maybe considered in this strategy going forward.
Thanks, Councillor Mason. Kevin, do you want to come back on that one now?
Chair, I do believe that there is scope for that within the strategy, because the strategy is trying to move from a position where the public toilets provided by the council are provided solely by the council, and it looks for relationships with other public bodies who have facilities that could be provided, but also looks for relationships with commercial businesses where there can be an agreement reached between the council and a commercial operation to work on a particular project. I think what the council perhaps needs to avoid is it always being the case that the council has to provide the whole public toilet. There are other means of doing that, and that's through working with other parties, and that would include commercial operators as well. So our strategy has that within it, that scope to do that.
Yeah, thanks for that, Kevin. Next in there was Councillor Owen.
Thanks very much. To be fair, Cathy actually covered the main question, or one of the questions there that I was going to say was about engagement. Absolutely welcome this strategy. Some really exciting results and encouraging results for everybody to know that we're all going in the right direction. So, but yeah, you've answered Cathy's question there. Although it's not directly on the strategy, it is on something that I know you and I have been speaking about, Kevin, as well as Johnny. I wouldn't be doing my job if I wasn't bringing it to the attention and to the floor of the Neighbourhood Services Committee. we still in Rowallan have no toilets open, and as my understanding is that we're the only district still remaining in Newry Morningdown that don't have any facilities open. So while looking at a strategy of how to improve and enhance, you know, what there is, we are still in a situation where we don't have anything at all. So just wondering, while I have the opportunity, Kevin, if you could sort of update in the committee, you know, for the constituents that are pushing me hard as to why there isn't anything for them. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, and we appreciate your forbearance, Councillor Owen, in terms of it, and you have been fighting hard on behalf of your constituents along with Councillor Walker and others, and Councillor Andrews as well. And Councillor Brown, it is a resource issue because of the COVID situation. We had to increase the frequency of the cleaning that we do in our toilets so as to give a higher level of protection. And we are still experiencing difficulties in terms of staff resources within the directorate as a result of having to transfer staff to what we consider the priority one services, which is the refuse service in the main. So the cleansing staff, it loses out across the district. You'll also see that perhaps areas are not being cleaned, streets are not being cleaned to the frequency that they used to be cleaned. And that's part and parcel of the fact that we've had to divert resources in order to take account of the COVID situation. We did, and you agreed with us with the business case we put forward in February to try and bring in extra resources, and we're working our way through that. We are now beginning to move to an open up situation, and we have agreed today that we'd make our best efforts to come back to this committee in May with our opening up plan, and that will include the plan that we have for making sure that all our toilets are being opened as and when we can. It's all very much dependent on the COVID situation within our neighbourhoods, but our intention would be to bring a plan to you for May to show when all our facilities will be back open again. And that might be reliant on us being able to review our risk assessment to say that we can perhaps reduce the frequency of the cleans to the toilets, and therefore that would allow us to spread our resources a little bit more so as we can open more toilets. The St. Fried toilet we had to do a lot of work in, and that work has been completed. So we are in a position where within a few days, once we have the resources in place, we'll be able to open up St. Fried public toilet and the other ones within the Rowallan area. Chair.
Thank you, Kevin. Okay, Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair, and more or less, like Catherine, Councillor Owen, I was going to raise the same points, but I would like to thank you, Kevin, for your reply in relation to that there. But I do, like other speakers, I do welcome and wholeheartedly support the strategy, because it'd be good to see the strategy being adopted, and especially with modernisation, a lot of our existing facilities are more or less have passed the sell by date, and it's to see a lot of modernisation and updating of facilities. So again, I'll be supporting the strategy wholeheartedly. But thanks so much, Chair, for your indulgence.
Thanks, Mr. Andrews. I see Councillor McMurray's in there. Councillor McMurray, I'm going to take you in after the committee members, if that's okay. So I'll take Councillor Clark first.
Just get on there, Chair. Sorry. Thanks very much, and again, thanks for the report. It's been, as Kevin and many others know, it's been a long journey, a number of years, and indeed a previous mandate. We started this journey off to get a strategic approach to toilets and to get an adequate budget put in the rates so we could deliver the outcomes that the public require. So I welcome we're near at the final stage in regards to the strategy. And we're getting to the stage of rolling out the refurbishment of our old stock of toilets, you know, some good toilets and some very, very poor toilets, and the strategy has identified that, you know, so I look forward now till the toilets being improved, and where new builds have to be made, they're made, and rebuilds are carried out also. But I suppose this is a fluid sort of document. It'll continually change as we do carry out our refurbishments and our rebuilds, that there will be greater requests coming in. And I suppose, as Councillor Mason says, if we have opportunities, maybe working with the private sector and the local community. We talked about Dundrum there. For example, I remember Legacy Down, we talked to Dundrum Gaelic Club about providing maybe their toilets. I'm not sure where that ended up, but there were certainly discussions in regards to that. It's very important, as others have said, Dundrum, it is a heavily populated village, but also attracts, especially coming out of COVID, as we get back into, people coming back maybe in car boot sales and all that sort of stuff, extremely busy in the nature reserve as well. So the opening times, certainly we need to have a good look at the opening times and where toilets are located. Are they located beside children's play parks, the parks and that type of stuff? I think that's very important that we get the right opening times. But there's continually failures, and Kevin knows there's continually failures in the Newcastle toilets. Lots of them are always closed. I think it illustrates the need to replace toilets and to modernise toilets, because as parents maybe out at the play park with young children and trying to get into a toilet block and they're not working, I think that's a lesson we maybe need to look at. We look at signage in regards to toilet facilities. If a toilet facility is closed in a town, then there's directions to another one that the public at least know where they can go to a toilet. So I think the other aspect is the cleansing of the facility is vitally important to the public as well. So we have to get that right as well, and maybe look at innovative ways of managing the facilities, the toilet facilities. It could be a community group could take over the management or the cleansing of a facility. It doesn't always have to be the private sector or a contractor coming in. It could be somebody with a kiosk. I'm thinking of like a Castle Park. If we did a new build there could be a kiosk there, and the responsibility could be, the vendor or, the person, the business owner would have the responsibility looking after toilets and stuff like that. So there's good opportunities, I think, to move forward. Charging, I wouldn't rule out charging. I think the vital thing that it is clean. It's a clean establishment to bring or your children to, or to go yourself, or bring your parents or whatever. I think that's the vital thing, that the facility is clean, and if it's well maintained and looked after, people will pay a small amount of money. Thanks, sir. Thanks. If you want a proposal, or a happy proposal, maybe you haven't.
No, I haven't. I'll go back at the end then again, Councillor Clark. Thanks for that. Councillor Casey?
Thank you, Chair. No, I welcome the report as well. And just like Willie, I wouldn't rule out charging, but the facilities we offer to our public would need to be fairly modern and well maintained if we're intended charging. I'm being parochial here as well, the capital P, if you pardon the pun, being a Newry man. Newry was always spoiled for choice in terms of toilet facilities. Under normal circumstances, I'm talking about now, Kevin, because you had the old leisure centre, now you have the new leisure centre. The facilities there are available to the general public that probably don't know that. You had the town hall and the arts centre. We also had an arrangement, and I hope that arrangement still exists, with the Canal Court and TransLink for their toilet facility on the Mall there as well. So, and we had our own in Newry Market. So do we still have that? And will we still have that going forward if we do return to some sort of normality? The report mentions that building up a relationship with other private businesses, for instance, the TransLink and the Canal Court. Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
I'm not aware that there was a formal relationship with the Canal Court and TransLink in relation to that, but there may have well been, but I'm not aware of that. But indeed, yes, that is what we look to envisage. We have 31 public toilets across the district, but we know that there are many other public buildings, even our own public buildings, that could be included as part of that. So as you said, Charlie, within Newry Town, we only have the one public toilet at the markets, but no one's going to stop you from using the facility at Bagnall's Castle. No one's going to stop using the facility at Newry Town Hall. No one's going to stop using the facility at the Arts Centre. But it's for us, I suppose, as a council, to be able to advertise that and let people know that, you know, these are the facilities which will be available to you, and form relationships with local businesses who agree that they will be part of this project, and that we will advertise their facilities being available as well, so that, you know, people who are on who can then download that information from the internet, and you know, local delivery drivers, my work with this here, but you know, it's one of the learnings for me is that the key part public toilets play for delivery drivers when they're driving about doing their daily work, they need somewhere to go, and it's having that knowledge of where they can go. So it's providing that service. But it's also people who are living with health conditions, and they're limited in terms of how far they can walk, and they need that confidence that if they do go out for a walk, that they know what facilities that will be available for them, and where they are and when they're open. So that's the sort of information we need to bring together to that. I agree with...
Can I finish off there, Una Edelmein, regarding transit? If you remember, Kevin, the Transit State was the state of the former public toilets, if you remember. And there was a sort of like a quid pro quo relationship between the council and TransLink that the general public could use their facilities as well. That's where that came from.
I always assumed that was the council owned, but it wasn't then. It was TransLink owned that toilet. Right.
Yeah.
But we maintained it.
I agree so totally with the comments of Councillor Clark, particularly in terms of cleanliness. You know, I come from an environmental health background, and so, you know, that for me is key. You know, we can invest significant money in having new toilets and refurbishing toilets, but if you don't clean them within 2 weeks, no one will want to use them. So that is really key to this, is getting that right, and that's not an easy thing to get right. Because that's the thing we get complaints about is the level of cleanliness within the facilities, and it's a hard one to crack, but it's one we have to crack.
Okay, thanks for that, Kevin. Councillor McKee.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, and thanks for the report, Kevin. And I agree with pretty much everything that has been said before this. Disabled toilets. I don't know whether that's in there or not, but disabled toilets. I think most people who are in that position will have a key of their own, and they can make access to those. I'm not too sure what the position is now in COVID times. I do know of a lady who contacted me about out at Cranfield this summer. There was toilets and they weren't very clean. But since then, she has come back to me, and she says she was just come back to thank me and thank the council staff for the way they cleaned the toilet. They're absolutely spotless. But I was just thinking, you referred to key a number of times there, Kevin, but mine's in another key, and not key in a name, but a key to make access. I was just thinking, is there a possibility, there's a money spinner there, that if anybody wanted to make access into those toilets that after closing times, that they could have accessed if they purchased a key. You're talking about delivery men. If they purchased a key and had it for their own use, but you had to pay for the key, at least £10 for a key, and you'd be sure they can get in there any time, night or day. Thank you.
Sure, it's something we can look at as we go through. I mean, the thing that'll fall out, again, I'd reiterate, approving the strategy is the starting point of this. There's so much work to be done in terms of deciding how we're going to spend our money and where we're going to spend our money, and considerations like that can fall out of it. Particularly if we agree to look at a charging basis for some facilities, then that's maybe can be part of it. Whereby at the moment it's people who are living with a disability that we would give the radar key to, but if there's maybe scope for a revenue generation by giving it to, say, delivery drivers at a cost, that's something that can be considered.
Okay.
Thanks for that, Kevin. Councillor McMurray, sorry for the wait. Do you want to come in there now?
No, yes, don't apologize for the wait. No, just thank you for letting me in, Chair. No, I suppose just following on, we'll make a couple of points, but certainly following on from Councillor McKay, I think it's also great to see in the report the change in places and how that can be incorporated to looking at public toilet provision. You know, that's something that was brought through in motion as well as, and again, it touches in sort of how these people can access toilets. I make no apologies, really. I say, Councillor Mason started with Dundrum, and I'm quite happily going to finish maybe the session on Dundrum. You know, I mean, you know, the people there manage, I think, to organise 10% of the population to respond to consultation, and the fact that there is no public toilets in the village, and you know, I think that really needs to be acknowledged. And also, similarly, I think their input of 140 responses nearly makes up 50% of the total responses across the district. So again, there's really a just to highlight the public feeling in that regard. And I suppose really what, you know, not go through the criteria as I've been in correspondence with Mr. Scullion in that regard, but just really how, you know, the people of Dundrum can now expect that criteria to be worked through and how the sort of the correspondence will go. Well, I mean, I suppose, I mean, there's a very established village association there and other bodies as Councillor Mason has already alluded to. So again, it's just really how we can expect that to be worked through, and I mean that's it really. I suppose just on a just getting my head there as well, just while we're talking there about how the maintenance of the upkeep. I mean, one of my first ever summer jobs was as a student was as a on the North Coast, and they employed seasonal wombles essentially. They were both employed to pull, you know, clean toilets and pick up litter. I'm just wondering as well, that could be something that could be investigated too. But anyway, thank you, Chair, for your indulgence. Cheers, man. Bye.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor McMurray. Kevin, do you want to come back on that?
Sure, I suppose that, you know, if we have our strategy, there'll be more reports coming back to this committee in terms of a menu of what the work that will fall out of the strategy will be. And we will take direction from the committee about where we'll where we'll spend our resources, because we'll not be able to do everything at once, and we need to prioritise where we feel the urgent need is, and address it in that way. So I can't give the councillor an answer at the moment, and by and large the answer will be in the councillor's hands in terms of what direction they give us about what direction the council and this committee gives us in terms of where we put our effort first. In terms of the of delivering on the strategy aims and objectives.
Yeah, thanks for that, Kevin. I don't see anyone else in there. There was a proposal there from Councillor Clark. Have we a seconder there? Thanks, Councillor Owen. Okay, folks, we will move on to item 9. And item 9 is rewilding and landscape improvements for health and wellbeing on council land. Kevin, that's you again.
Thanks, Chair. So the purpose of this report is to provide the committee with an update on the progress of incorporating rewilding as part of the management of our green spaces and seek approval and endorsement of the key themes set out within section 2.1 of the report. Rewilding was last reported to this committee in August last year, at which time various rewilding schemes were taking place at key locations such as our main roundabouts in the district, where we had the wildflower growing. If you remember, some of it was quite beautiful. Attached to the report that you've been provided with is a rewilding update for spring 2021 showing some current work examples for noting. The report also refers to 5 key themes which are emerging from this work, and the committee is asked to note and endorse these themes. Johnny, you know, is with us here in attendance, and Johnny can speak more intelligently about the rewilding for any specific technical questions you have. But with your agreement, we would seek to incorporate these themes within the report into our work to produce a unified scheme district-wide with traditional amenity and maintenance concepts mixing with the more contemporary biodiverse maintenance methodologies subject to resource availability. And speaking of resource availability, funding of the projects which we are engaged in will be funded through a combination of our existing grounds maintenance revenue budgets, agreed capital programme that we have with the council as well. But there are a number of government departments which are giving out funding or funding applications, which Johnny is busy making applications for so that we can bring in money to carry out these projects along with our own money contributed to that. So, Chair, the recommendation before the committee is to seek approval and endorsement of the key themes set out within section 2.1 of the report.
Yeah, thanks for that, Kevin. It has been proposed there by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Clark. Councillor Andrews, do you want to comment on that?
I do indeed, Chair. First of all, thank you very much. And thank you, Kevin, for giving us an excellent report on the Rewilding update. You know, as I do welcome the report on the Rewilding, and it's a very good paper. And during my time as chairperson of the APSI working group on parks and horticulture, I seen it firsthand and at various meetings, you know, various council officials from England, Scotland and Wales who done brilliant presentations and exhibiting the work that went on in their districts into open spaces, all, you know, being evenly balanced between rewilding and, you know, the ordinary parks, etc. So again, I think it's a good idea, and it's proven hugely popular with a lot of members of the public to see wildflowers and everything, so, and the rewilding sort of like coming in. And again, I'm only too happy to support. And maybe if the officers get in touch with APSI, the APSI officer will deal with that, or Wayne Priestley, and he might be able to point you in more directions. But again, I'm only too happy to propose that we go ahead with the recommendations and endorsements of the proposals outlined in section 2.1. So thank you very much, Chair. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Clark?
Chairperson, thanks very much, and I'm happy to second the proposal. I think it's been an excellent initiative. It came from a notice of motion. And I think, again, like we've talked about other issues, it's essential that we have the community involvement in regards to moving forward. And I do think one of the benefits from COVID is that people are more in touch with their environment, more in touch with nature. So we don't have a better time, you know, to engage with groups. I know lots of councillors were involved in different initiatives across the district about, you know, community orchards, creating community gardens, replanting wildflowers, you know, that type of stuff, including community cleanups as well. It's important as well. But no, I think it's a sensible approach. I think this is supposed to be the legacy for, you know, future generations, our children. And I think this is the start of the momentum to improve the habitats again and realise how essential habitats are to our survival as a species. You know, so I think this is the beginning. I think it's a very successful initiative. In relation to Islands Park, again, I had a notice of motion about the mitigation of climate change and managing Islands Park in that fashion. And I would like to thank the officers for their efforts in regards to progressing that. I think Islands Park, by its nature, is a wet habitat. So there's an opportunity to recreate habitats for native species in that environment as well. They would do it just in regards to Johnny. The extra tree planting in that area has been welcomed by the community as well. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Finnegan, have you a question?
Yeah, just really quickly. I don't know if my camera's working there or not. I just want to concur with what everybody else has said. I think it's a brilliant initiative and it's very welcomed by all the communities. What I would ask for, is there any chance that we could get a list of the areas that have been or will be rewilded? Is that possible? Thank you.
Yes, Chair, we'll pass that on to the councillor. Johnny Ellis has dropped off his reception, but we'll get that information to the councillor.
Thank you. That's great, Kevin. Thank you. Okay, folks, so that's that one covered. We will move on to item 10. Item 10 is the DNA testing for dog fouling enforcement, and I think Liam's coming in on this one.
Thank you, Chair. Just if I can, maybe by way of introduction, say that councillors have in the past suggested that DNA testing for dogs is a way to address the problem relating to dog fouling. I certainly concur with that to some degree. Now, we have consulted with, as detailed in the report, with APSI and with the Northern Ireland Dogs association grouping, and we have detailed in the report the results that we did take up from those, from our consultation. It's listed, a number of issues listed in the report. There is no legal requirement for DNA registration and for our DNA testing to work. We would need as many dogs as possible on our on a register, because obviously if you test something that you pick up, you want to be able to match it to a dog. You can't really do that without that dog being registered on the on a register. The cost for registration of the schemes that we find are about £40 per dog. It then takes £70 to take a swab, a cheek swab for each dog. I understand that cheek swab is probably about 90% effective. To get a better degree of testing assurance, you may have to go for a full sample, which is of the value of £225. The experience that we got from our consultation is that you would need a minimum of 70% of dogs to be on the database. And we take the view that while most dog owners are responsible dog owners, it's the minority that allow their dogs to foul. And it's very unlikely that those owners would register on the database. So it certainly is a bit of a chicken and egg situation. Also, there will be possibly dogs from outside the area, outside the district, that might be brought into the area. And for all those reasons, without the ability to compel dog owners to register, it is considered that registration would be low and that the samples collected will be unlikely to be matched to ownership. I spoke with an officer, senior officer of accounts in England, who did a pilot study, and basically they found that without the ability to compel owners to register their dogs, the DNA testing scheme for dog fouling is likely to be extremely costly and as such would be ineffective. So the current fixed penalty notice system also, I should point out, if you do find someone that has allowed the dog to foul and you find them, once they pay their fixed penalty, you have no recourse then to go and try to recoup other costs, e.g. the testing, the swab test, whatever. So the recommendation in the report is basically a set down, and I'd ask, if submit then to the committee if anyone wants to try and take any questions.
Yeah, thanks for that report, Liam. There's a question in there from Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Liam, for that report. I suppose DNA, we had a discussion, I remember when I was in the Assembly, we had a discussion about DNA, being used to combat dog fouling, and it was rejected at that stage. I think it was because of the cost implications was the main reason. But I think it shows the frustration of the community and the frustration of councillors, because at the end of the day, we get in the neck in regards to the dog fouling. And because so many people have been out recently, there's a lot more incidents of dog fouling taking place, you know. So I think the best way forward is we have a strategy. We need a robust strategy. We need it's education and it's also enforcement. I think we do still need upper game in regards. I know COVID has an impact on that, but we certainly need maybe in relation to another item in regards to, you know, the big clean-up or spring clean-up. We need a blitz right across our district in regards to dog fouling, having people visible in main areas with dog bags, for users. Just have that conversation with them and show the awareness with people on high vis and a high active campaign. I think that needs to be rolled out as quickly as possible moving forward. I think it's at the end of the day, people think there's a lot of people or a lot of dogs responsible for this. It's not the majority are responsible dog owners, but there's some people who think they're too good to pick up after a pet. And that's the end of the day. People think these are ruffians or whatever. These are well responsible people in the community who just don't think they have to pick up after a pet. So I think that's the only way. I think it's a two-pronged attack. Certainly we can maybe propose we, if the committee is minded to that, you know, propose we write to the executive and ask them, are they looking at maybe undertaking, you know, subsidising DNA in regards to, you know, councils carrying out their role. It's unfair to fit the bill with the repair, so that's why I'm happy to propose the way forward.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Clark. Liam, are you looking in to answer that one?
It was purely to pick up from Councillor Clark. We did take an enforcement improvement plan that was adopted by this committee last month. We are taking an update in relation to that improvement plan to the committee next month. And I just like to think that what the proposals that has Councillor Clark has made, I'd be happy that the majority of them will be contained in the proposals that we'll be bringing forward next month.
Yeah, thank you, Liam. Councillor McKee?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I was probably that councillor who raised that, maybe in Legacy Council and certainly in New Council, about I visited France one time and I discovered that that's how they do things. But when I read that report there, to me, it's very off-putting as far as how it's even going to work, because the cost involved is scary. And unless, as Willie says, the central government says it's going to support it in some way or other financially, I cannot see it actually working. It's enough problem, again, for to get people to chip dogs, never mind to DNA dog for the sake of doing a poo, because for the people who go to the bother of getting the dog DNA will already be responsible people not to allow that to happen. They'll be with their dog, they'll have the bags, where it's, to me it's more people who allow their dog to run loose, and they are not going to DNA them, they're not going to do any checks, and we're left to pick up the pieces. So to be honest with you, I really don't think that that's going to work. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McKee. Councillor Owen?
It's probably more a comment. First of all, thanks very much for this, Liam. It's with a heavy heart, I'm willing to second your report. I do think there has to be a large amount of creative thinking. You know, Harold's right, and yourself as well, Liam, is that, you know, the ones that are going to be responsible dog owners and go and get their dog's DNA are not the ones that are going to be, you know, walking on whenever their dog fouls. So that in itself, unless it's something that does come from the Assembly, that in itself is going to be a pretty fruitless exercise on our part. And the other thing as well is why should the ratepayer, you know, 80 plus 90% whatever, of which are all responsible dog owners, why should they be being penalised as well then for the sake of something of being a responsible dog owner? So like I say, while it's with a heavy heart turning and, you know, saying that this isn't going to work, you know, we do have to start to get creative, because I'm sure this has been something that councillors have been talking about, you know, for Lord only knows how long, and we're still in the situation, you know, so I don't know what the answer is, but we do definitely need to start maybe getting our thinking hats, because, you know, this is another thing that's being taken off, whether it's education, whether it's speaking to the ministers in the Assembly and trying to bring something in, but there has to be something. So thanks very much again, Liam, for the good report. That's a good bit of work. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Owen. Okay, so that has been proposed by Councillor Clark and seconded by Councillor Owen. So we move on to item 11, which is community cleanups. Johnny, are you reporting on this one? Or is it
sorry, Liam? Chair, trying to find my microphone there. No, sorry, it's Liam's going to report this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just wondered, did you miss an item? Was there item 10 before? Maybe I'm...
Oh, sorry, yes, Liam. Sorry, item 11. Sorry, folks. Item 11 is the... update the council on the issue of FPN, and that's Liam. Sorry about that.
No, thank you, Chair. Just it's very, very quick, I suppose. At the last meeting in March, I was requested, you know, we did say that we would bring back regular updates in relation to the issue of fixed penalty notices. And at the meeting in March, I reported that we had 35 fixed penalty notices in progress. At this stage now, for this meeting, we have a total of 43 fixed penalty notices in progress. I will point out that last year in total, we had issued a total of 52 fixed penalty notices. So progress has been fairly reasonable, but all as I suggest. But I'd also like to point out that during the month of March, we did have one officer who was trying to use our banked annual leave. And we also have another officer who has left this different recruitment. So effectively during March, we were 50% of our team down. On the positive side, on Monday, we did interviews for our seasonal enforcement and we were successful in appointing two officers. So details are there, Chair, and it's just really for information and noting.
Yeah, thanks for that, Liam. Okay, we move on to item 12 now. Oh, sorry, a couple of questions coming in there, Liam. Question there from Councillor Andrews.
I did, Chair. Thank you very much. In relation to, thanks very much, Liam, for your report. What action will be taken against those who won't pay the notices? And also, I do welcome the efforts on staff. I know in a previous forum I'd raised about seasonal staff becoming permanent all year to deal with the ongoing, you know, issues that they're facing at the moment, you know, and maybe we can look at the making seasonal become sort of all year and permanent. The more staff that we do have on the ground, and I must commend our existing staff for the excellent job that they're doing. And so I would like to seek the views of officers on that, on expanding the term from seasonal to all year round, you know, with the numbers, say, if we have 7 or 8 seasonal and if we translate them into all year, they would be a great asset in dealing with the ongoing problem that we face. Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Liam.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Owen?
Thanks very much, Chair. Thanks very much, Liam. That's a good report. I've maybe missed it, so if you can just sort of familiarise me, what is our staff quota for enforcement? There's so many in Down and so many in Uri and Mourne, isn't there, legacy-wise? Now, you did maybe say there, but how does quarter one of this year compare to quarter one of last year? And obviously, has there been staff changes that has, you know, either made this better or made this worse? So thanks very much.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. I can just respond to your query. Our staffing level, we do work loosely across two different across the legacy districts. We have two permanent members of staff at each district, at each area, supported by one seasonal member of staff in each area. So we're two permanent and one seasonal in each area. In relation to numbers, a comparison with quarter one last year. I'm sorry, I don't have that number with me. But the 52 that we did last year, I think and suspect that they were fairly evenly spaced across the months. So I don't know if you're happy enough for that response, but that's the best I can offer at the moment.
Chair, maybe if I could come in and maybe elaborate a wee bit further. Yeah, Liam is right. We have a small number of enforcement officers, comparatively speaking, to other local authorities operating in our district. Suffice to say that members will be aware that the council has a COVID recovery fund, which was agreed by the members as part of the rates this year, which is to support the wider recovery of the district. And I note members' comments at the minutes of the meeting last month where they asked me to make a bid for additional resources if we felt it was necessary. We will be working up a business case, Chair, to make a bid to that fund to secure additional support. mindful of what an increase in footfall might mean in our district with regards to littering, dog fouling, that type of thing. So I would be hopeful that would be successful, and we can update the committee at a later point in relation to that.
Thanks very much, Johnny, for that, and it's good to hear. Thank you.
Okay, folks, if you're happy enough, we move on to item 12, which is community cleanups. And Johnny, or sorry, Liam's reporting on this.
Thank you, Chair. This report is a follow-up from the big district cleanup and request for assistance with regards to community litter cleanups. So the current policy, as I can point out, is that we will assist cleanups, and as part of that, we did provide returnable litter packs. So it's a returnable cleanup pack of 6 litter packs, gloves and bags. We would provide access to the HRC to dispose of litter picked waste, and then we would try to assist with national spring clean initiatives whenever they restart. At the minute, no doubt, and councillors have referred earlier that our road signs are not as they should be. There's 75% increase in fly tipping, but probably more obvious is the roadside litter. But the basis for this report is around the fact that there is evidence that community involvement, when that is in place, it helps to keep an area clean, and it's less likely that people will litter their area if they know that there's a community involvement to keep it clean. So to advise councillors, from last week, we have restarted assistance for roadside cleanups, and we have looked to see how we can best support the continued involvement of community groups, both to keep their area clean and to continue to promote recycling. If I can go then, Chair, to the recommendations in the report. So the recommendation is therefore that we continue to support community groups to undertake roadside litter cleanups. Rather than these as a support to be one-off, we propose to promote that groups register with the Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful Adopt a Spot, and that by doing so, rather than have to return the litter pick package, that groups will receive, they'll be able to keep the litter picks. So they'll be able to keep the litter picks. They will be able to get come to us to get additional bags. They will be given a number of sets of gloves. They will have access to the HRCs to dispose of plant litter pick waste, and we will try to promote their efforts through the council web page, whatever, and through Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful. Also in the recommendation, we've looked at recycling now that schools are back, and to complement ongoing school education, what we would like to try to do, and we recommend that we do, is to provide 10 brown bin caddies or make them available to the 100 primary schools, and that we also try to encourage those schools to participate in cleanups and as part of education. And we propose to make junior litter picks available to the schools as a non-returnable quantity of litter picks to be given to the school. The total cost of our proposals is in the value of around £8,000 to £10,000. We consider that we will recover that cost through savings that we would make from not having our own cleaning teams do it, and also from what councillors had said earlier on, through increased usage of brown bins. So those are the proposals and recommendations, Chair, and take any questions.
Yeah, thanks for that, Liam. First question in there is from Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, in the first sentence, could I give a warm welcome to this report? I'm certainly very happy to propose that we accept the recommendations included in it. I think, listen, the reality is has been an increase in fly tipping over the recent period. I know from my own point of view, I've reported a lot more in recent months than I ever have as an elected representative. But certainly, you know, what I also notice is there is a keen interest within the local community, you know, from, you know, individuals and community organisations to actually play their part in trying to combat this issue. And that's to be welcomed as well, because it shows that people do care about, you know, the scenery and about the wider area and the appearance of the area. So that's, you know, I think this complements that in terms of the recommendations that are included in it. I also, you know, I also give a warm welcome to the recommendation to cooperate with schools on this issue, because there's some great work been undertaken in schools. I know a number of local schools, for instance, where I'm involved in the Board of Governors, there's been some great work been undertaken in terms of environmental projects, and the children are so enthusiastic about it. And in terms of the long-term battle, in terms of winning the long-term battle with fly tipping and other litter issues, that's where that this will happen, is because children are being educated in this, and they're learning, you know, different practices to what maybe we learned as, you know, when we were younger. It wasn't something that was really when we were at school. But it's certainly something now that I think children are taking a very proactive interest. Sorry, Chair, my 2-year-old has just ran into the office. and something I hope he'll benefit from this one.
Hey, David, a new counsellor.
But listen, I think, as I say, that's where the long-term battle will be won. And if we as a council can work with schools and interact with schools and that, that's going to be a positive for us. There is a small cost, in my opinion. You know, and that's why I think it is a small cost, but again, it saves us in the long run as well as the council if communities and schools and others are taking part in the process of keeping our area clean. So very pleased to recommend the report, Chair, and I hope everyone else will be of the same opinion. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that, Councillor Taylor. I'll take you in as a seconder, Councillor Taylor. Councillor Andrews was in first. Councillor Andrews, are you looking to comment?
Yes, I'm a teacher. Thank you very much. And First of all, I do welcome the paper and its recommendations that have been laid out for us to discuss and make the decision to progress. I support the efforts of all community groups, organisations and individuals who go the extra mile to make their areas a cleaner and tidier place. All are to be commended for doing so. I'm fully supportive and endorse the council's efforts and commitment at their support. And again, Liam and Councillor Taylor before me, they did touch on schools. I know and the Strategic Waste Working Group, you know, myself and the other councillors were members of, education and working with schools and youth clubs was very much an area that was identified. And I think it is very important that we do reach out to the likes of schools, youth clubs and youth football teams, youth organisations and sports and all. It's a good idea to support and encourage them. And as Councillor Taylor touched on, it's a small cost, but I think it's a price well worth paying. So I'm only too happy to propose that we go ahead with this.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Casey?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. Anything that helps to clean the area up, I would welcome it as well. And Liam has told us continuously about the amount of money that the ratepayer spends throughout the year, throughout the district. I think it's £1 million budget for lifting litter and waste and sweeping the streets and picking up fly tipping or whatever. But it's getting a combined effort on behalf of council, DFI and the Northern Ireland Housing Executive, especially with entryways. Now, I've been reminded continuously by both those organisations that if it's litter, it's a council issue. So council will lift the issue and lift the litter and deal with the issue effectively. But if there's any bills to be sent, if they send it to DFI or the housing executive, they won't come up with the goods to pay the money. But the amount of grass and weeds that are growing in some of those entries, you know, it just brings an area down, and it has to be seen to be believed in some of them. But there's one issue in particular, Liam, and I have asked you to try and get it dealt with. I'm sure you're trying your level best. It's out the Armagh Road there, just at that fast food outlet. That whole area is blighted with litter. Every day of the week, every weekend, it's like snow. And you've asked, I think you may have asked them to put a bit of a netting on that fencing there from B&Q right round to opposite the five-ways roundabout to prevent that litter from blowing off their property onto that roadway there. And the council, and to be fair to your staff, and Sean, people like Sean McCann, if they're a petition, they will work wonders in trying to clean it up. But something needs to be done urgently with that particular aspect. Liam, thanks very much.
Chair, if I can respond to Councillor Casey.
Yeah.
Councillor Casey, absolutely right. You have raised with me in relation to Armagh Road. Actually visiting her later on Sunday, two locations that you raised with me. But I'd say in relation to this particular one, you're absolutely right. Now we have contacted the centre management again. So when we visited, I would say all too many bins within the car parking area were full. We have and will continue to seek that they maintain and look after their own area. But from our point of view, as part of our fixed penalty notice, it will be an area that we propose to target.
Yeah, thanks for that, Liam. Councillor McKee, have you a question?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I think maybe Liam touched on it about the type of waste that is disposed of the side of the roads. I'm thinking more of not just so much maybe fly tipping, but waste. And I think it's in this time of COVID and a lot more carry outs and drinks and food stuff is just literally whatever distance you get and the things are empty out through the window, it goes. And you can see more and more of it inside of the roads. Now, one of the queries I would have, and we have an additional thing, you live along the shore, people do litter picks along the shore, it washes up, not all in the land, some in the sea, you get all types, but just how, Liam, do you intend to promote all of what you've told us there? Now, I would love to see everything in the order, whatever is the correct order, the first thing you do until it's taken to HRC, because I am told that you have to take it to HRC before 10 a.m. in the morning. So do you have to, who do you notify they're going to do a litter? The other thing is, as a councillor, I sometimes see it on social media, we get bad press because we are not out there collecting litter like a few others are doing. But on the other hand, I made that inquiry to the council, and it is not correct for us to invite people onto the road to gather litter, because it's up to each group to provide their own insurance, where the council will not insure people to collect, and if anything happened to that person, you know, whose responsibility would it be? So therefore I think we've actually taken a step back not to get involved. But for those who do want to get involved, I would just like to have it somewhere, an email sent to all councillors, or if you intend to promote it across the board to all community groups or whatever, and just itemise it in the correct order, the things you need to do and who you need to contact before the litter is over. Thank you.
Chair, if I can respond to Councillor McKee.
Yeah, indeed, Liam.
The aspect about before 10 o'clock about bringing stuff to the HRC site is not strictly correct, Councillor. Really, the HRC sites are open. A group coming in with their litter pick waste, if we're talking maybe 10 bags or so, we certainly will receive them during the normal working day. If we have a larger contingent or arrangement to come in, say maybe a large trailer or something, we don't want to slow down the householders that are in the site. And certainly on that, by prior arrangement, we may make arrangement before 10 a.m. Now, that's, as I say, on an occasional basis rather than an operational basis. Regarding the promotion, I think that our sustainability section has recently sent out to all councillors as to the litter pick assistance being restarted, and certainly I will contact with sustainability and just discuss with them and bring forward what you suggested, Councillor McKee, and try to make sure that we do get promotion. I do think what I had said earlier, that I think that any group who has been involved in litter collection, we should be finding a way to promote that within our own website or what, and through Tidy Northern Ireland as well. So I hope Councillor McKee probably maybe sets out some proposals and, well, certainly positive things of what we hope to do.
Thank you.
Thanks, Liam. Final question in there from Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. And it's just to say that I welcome all the work that's been carried out in regards to this initiative. and I said it in the previous or two items ago, in regards to the community really getting involved in these types of initiatives from sporting clubs, community groups, indeed families, councillors are getting involved, you know. So it's a really positive story, folks, and anything that the council can do to make it easier for communities and make it easier for groups, it has to be welcomed, and particularly getting involved in schools again as well. So just a big mooie hoo, welcome.
Thanks, Councillor Clark. Okay, I think that's all the questions for item 12. So we move on to item 13, which is the provision of the waste calendar 2021-22, and this is for noting. Liam, is this you again?
Unfortunately, it is, Chair. I've been doing well up until now, I thought, but the purpose of this report is really just to inform councillors that we are behind with our waste calendar for this year, and it's going to be early to mid-June before we begin to distribute the calendars by postage. So I've set down in the report our timetable, certainly that we currently have a number of items out to tender. For example, the production of the artwork for our calendar, and also the printing and the distribution. We do hope that by the early part of May, we will have the artwork available. That then will enable us that anyone that is ringing in, we will be able to post out, copy it and post them out our calendar. We also would be able to put it up on the website by then so that people can use the What Is My Collection Day finder. So there are a number of things that we are trying to do to mitigate any difficulty with the fact that the calendars are not there, but I would like to hope that most people know their collection sequence, and by following the current calendar, they can work ahead to see what is, you know, what their collection sequence is. But certainly anyone that rings in to our staff and customer services, we will be able to advise them. And as I say, hopefully by the early part of May, we will have a calendar available that can be posted out. So I can take any questions, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Liam. We have a question in there from Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. But probably my turn of phrase, it's more of a comment than it is a question. But again, Liam, I'd like to thank you very much for the update on the calendars. And also at this stage, I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to yourselves and to the staff and all in customer services and right across the department for all their hard work in the preparations of the calendar, and especially in the times that we're in at the moment. So hopefully we're moving progressively. I've been asked by constituents and about the calendars that will be displayed on the website and posted at the homes. I know you've had many difficulties this year and resulting in the delay, but has the council any plans to have the I know I'm looking a wee bit ahead here, the 22-23 calendars will be just will it be circulated ahead of the April start for next year? Thank you very much. But I know I recognise that there's been difficulties that in the production this year, but as I say again, I would welcome an update. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. That was just for noting. I see Councillor Stokes has come in to propose that, and Councillor Clark has come in to second. Councillor Clark, have you a question as well?
Yeah, just briefly, and Liam's sort of dealt with what I was going to say in regards to the members of the public generally know their collection dates, but I think it's important that we keep, you know, that communique on our Facebook pages and also on our website. I think it's essential that communications, because people do start to think that their rounds have been changed. It just takes one member of the public to say, no, I've been collecting a different day, you know. So I think it's important to communicate that. But I suppose a question would be in regards to how we, you know, progress our communication, you know, develop an app, you know, to communicate to the public where their bin collection is, if there's delays to service and that type of thing. I think we really need to be moving in regards to that advancements in technology and communicating with the public. Just ask maybe Johnny or Liam, is there any progress we've made in regards to developing an app?
Sorry, Councillor Clark, if I come in, when we get this calendar finalised, we will be able to put it up onto the web page as to our find your bin collection. So there is a bin calendar that will be on, so that is using technology. Is that what you're referring to, I hope?
No, thanks, Adley. It's probably more of an engagement personally with the members of the public or the residents or the ratepayer that they have an app. And there's a number of councils already using them across the water. Indeed, there's a couple in Ireland using them.
Yeah.
That you're informed when your collection date is on the app, and you're also informed if there's delays to your collection. I think that would be very important, as well as all the environmental information that we could be putting out in regards to cleanups and the information about cleanups. I think it'd be a very useful app for us to adopt.
Yeah, Chair, maybe if I can come in there, we're happy to look at that. I mean, just as a general comment, you know, automating and moving and embracing digital technology is a priority for the Directorate across all of its services. Regrettably, there's been a lack of investment in the systems technology in the directors, particularly in some of our frontline services. So that is certainly a priority for the director and myself. And I would hope that members will start to see business cases being brought forward, which will justify the investment, ultimately to make some of the ways we work more efficient, but also to provide our customers and our residents with more choice as to how they access and engage services that we provide.
Thanks for that, Johnny. Johnny, do you need me to make a formal proposal that we invest in? Get adopting an app for refuse collection?
Sure. If the members are able, I'm happy to accept that proposal, if that's what really the direction of the committee wants to give.
I second that, Johnny, if that's all right. Yeah. Councillor McKee?
Yeah, just a quick one, Chair. I remember we had a mental health meeting somewhere along the line to council, I think it was, somewhere along the way, and talked about everyone needs notified. You know, everybody needs to know, particularly Lifeline, with one of the names and numbers was used quite a bit, and possibly a flyer. And I had suggested that day one of the good ways I felt of doing it without an additional cost was stick an A4 flyer or something, Lifeline e-card, into your envelope, Liam, along with your bin collection. It'll not cost anything. I'm sure you'll get them free. Somebody will give them to you, and every household will get them. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor McKee. Okay, I think that's us. Items 14 and 15 are for noting. Item 14 is the R21 Joint Committee Members Bulletin of the 25th of March 2021. And item 15 is the R21 Joint Committee Meeting Minutes held on Thursday, the 25th of February 2021. If there are no comments or questions, we can move on to item 16, which is also for noting. It's the historic action sheet. So I'll just take it a page at a time. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14. Page 15, page 16, page 17, page 18, page 19, page 20, page 21, and page 22. If we have no comments or questions, we can move on. Okay. So items 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. Can I get a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session, please? Yes, thanks, Councillor Murphy. Can I get a seconder there, please? Thank you, Councillor Finnegan. Okay, we'll give a minute or two for the
recording. Has resumed now, Chair. I can proceed.
Thank you. Okay, just an update to the committee on what was agreed in closed session. Item 17, the ARC 21 Joint Committee Meeting Minutes on Thursday the 25th of February 2021. It was unanimously agreed to note the ARC 21 Joint Committee meeting minutes held on Thursday the 25th of February 2021. Item 18, the Neighbourhood Services Procurement Action Plan quarterly update. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to approve the progress update report for the period 1st of December 2020 to the 31st of March 2021. Note that services will continue out of contract until new contracts are awarded and regularised, and approve the revised target completion dates as set out in Appendices 1 to 4. Item 19 was the business case for the supply of vehicle hire services. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Stokes, it was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the economic appraisal to procure a contract for the supply of vehicle hire services. Item 20, the business case for hoofline vehicle and driver hire. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the business case to procure a contract for the occasional hire of hook loader, vehicle and driver. Item 21, the report on public space CCTV, monitoring and analogue fibre cable services. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor McKee, it was agreed to note the content of the report and approve the findings of the business cases presented, that is, business case for town centre CCTV monitoring, approve option 1, business case for town centre CCTV analogue fibre optic lines to link camera system to monitoring centre, approve option 1. Okay, folks. That's us. Thanks very much for attending.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Good night.
See you all soon. Bye.